What in the hell was that, Scott? Virginia scored 78 points if we didn't have to play like two games to get there. That was a great 78-65 win. Virginia shoots 57.8% from the field, a season best. Puts five guys in double figures, 10 of 17 from three. That's how other teams play.
That was a proverbial offensive smorgasbord for you.
Oh, man, yeah.
I mean, not only that, but five players in double figures?
Yeah.
That's going to be an interesting question for the UVA staff today. When's the last time a UVA team in a game that was close had five double-digit scores?
Well, you know, it won't be that hard because you'll start looking at, you know, last year, for example. You won't look at any of this year's
stats. No, not this year.
It won't be easy to flip through right there. P.A. Clark, Braxton Key, both with 17. Jay Huff, Thomas Waddle, Tensai, 14 each. And Mami Diakite with 10 as he made a free throw with about 11 seconds to go to join that group. And again, this team 26 of 45, 57.8% from the floor, 13 of 19 in the second half, 10 of 17 from three. You had Jay Huff going crazy. He was 3 of 5 from three. Thomas Waddle Tensai, 4 of 8 from three. And this was just an offense that we have not seen since this time last year.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at the final official stats, and it's impossible to pick out, find an offensive stat that's not impressive.
Yeah, 16 of 22 from the foul line. You would like to make a couple more of those, but getting to the foul line that much when Boston College was 1 for 2 on the game, 14 of 20 of that in the second half. Virginia got Boston College in foul trouble really early. I believe it was around the 14-minute mark. They started shooting free throws 1-1. And so big advantage there. And, K.A. Clark, his minutes limited a little bit. I mean, for anybody else's starting point guard to get 31 minutes, that would be a normal night. But for K.A., he's averaging 37.5 minutes a game this year. Some foul trouble. He had 2 fouls in the first half. He had to sit out the last 3:55 of the first half. Braxton Key is the new option as the backup point guard. And in that stretch, Virginia actually made 4 of their last 5 shots to go to take a 1-point lead to a 15-4 run to go up 12 at halftime. Boston College made it a little interesting in the second half. At one point, got it down to 6. But Virginia then gets back up to 20 and holds off a late mini charge from Boston College to get the win. And, Scott, I would say there was no trickery here. This wasn't like Tony did something completely different scheme-wise or anything else. This was the mover blocker offense that, you see Tony run. You saw certainly him run with, Ty and Kyle and DeAndre last couple of years. This was the base Virginia offense scoring 78 points in the game.
What we've been saying since this season started, which seems like about 4 years ago, is that ultimately this team's going to start shooting well. Well, this is what happens.
Well, we hope that.
We hope that.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is what happens when you shoot well. 26 to 45, 57%.
10 of 17 from three. That's 30 baskets on 30 points on 17 baskets. That's pretty good effective field goal percentage. And they were good, clean looks. You know, this is a team, this Boston College team, a month ago, roughly, held Virginia to 53, and that was a slog. I mean, this team in this arena, the last two times they played, they won the games, 51 against Clemson, 50 in overtime against Notre Dame. I think a light's gone off, Scott. I mean, a buzzer's gone off, the bell's gone off, whatever. And, you've got guys, they know what their role is now, and they're playing to their potential.
Looking at the stats, Waddle Tensai, finally.
Finally makes some shots here, yeah.
Well, in JPJ.
No
true. 5 of 10 from 4 of 8.
4 of 8 from 3 and 5 of 10 overall.
5 of 10 for the game.
And I'm not sure if they did drive him around for a couple hours like I suggested to make him think it's a road game. But, yeah, he was early and consistent. Cody Statman, 2 of 3 in the second half from 3. Jay Huff had 3, all of his 3 threes were in the first half. But, man, he set a tone early. He had 8 points in the first 3 minutes. Set a tone early for this team.
Yeah, and, you look at it. Players know their role. Statman scored 6 points tonight. He may as well score 20 because he knocked down a couple of critical threes.
Yeah.
When just a couple of games ago, He couldn't wait to get the ball out of his hand.
The first half of this game couldn't wait to get the ball out of his hand, honestly. But he gave you 21 minutes. Casey Morsell, we'll have to wonder about him. He looked like he stepped on an ankle. 15 minutes, didn't score in this game, and we'll have to wonder about his availability for Saturday. But Walter Tensai, 36 minutes. He played the first roughly 30 minutes without coming out of the game. Jay Huff and Diakite giving you 8 and 7 rebounds, respectively. You need that. These are guys that sometimes can kind of hide behind in the stats, and you know you'll see those two big guys get 3 or 4 rebounds. Jay had 7 in the first half when you really needed him to do so, and also they gave you 28 and 30 minutes respectively. And Braxton Key, what can we say about this guy? 17 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and he was the backup point guard tonight.
Well, shameless plug for the book Team of Destiny. The moniker for Braxton Key was Virginia's Swiss Army Knife.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think he was ever asked to play point guard last year.
This was one of those. Yeah, this is one of those little things that you flip up and you say, we never used this one before.
And he played point guard, and not only did he play it well, but with T.A. Clark on the bench with foul trouble, we expanded that lead by about 6 or 8 points.
Oh, it was 20-19. When Kihei went out, and it was 35-23 at halftime, 15-4 run, with Kihei on the bench and Braxton Key running the point. The 11 point, actually, the 4 baskets, Virginia went 4 of 5 down the stretch in the first half, and Key made a driving layup, assisted on 2 threes, and assisted on a dunk. So, you know, that seems to be the option. You heard that in the media room at halftime. Chase Coleman had been getting the minutes as a backup point guard, and not many, because Kihei is averaging 37.5 a game. But this seems to be the new approach. If Kihei is going to be out, which he needs to be out for at least a couple minutes a game, and he got foul trouble tonight, had more time on the floor, on the bench, Braxton Key, he can clearly run the team and not really miss a beat. In fact, the team did have a nice stretch there.
Speaking of T.A. Clark, I made a note. He finished the game with 17 points. At halftime, he was 1 of 5 from the field, had 3 points.
And that one was the alley-oop that went in the basket for 3.
It was a pass that accidentally went in the basket.
Yeah.
Second half, he finishes 5 of 7 from the field, finishes with 14 points. He ended up with 8 assists tonight.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the first half stats. He did have 4 assists. He had 4 in the first half. So 4 assists. But it's 17 points, 8 assists for him on a night. Yeah, and in the second half, he was really the guy down the stretch. After Boston, Virginia led by 20 on one of the Statman threes, 5:22 to go, 70-50. Boston College made it interesting. Virginia went a little cold, as Virginia teams are prone to do. Boston College 8-0 run made it 70-58. Kihei scored 5 straight, 2 free throws and 1 to put the kibosh on this game. So when Virginia needed him, he stepped up.
You know, I know you always want to build up your opponent, but this is a different looking Boston College team. They actually have some talent out on the floor.
Oh yeah, this is a Boston College team that if they won this game tonight, they were 7-8 in the ACC. Virginia 9-5. They're getting, you know, they're in the mix for a 4 or 5 spot in the ACC. This is a team that they swept Virginia Tech, I believe that's right. They played Duke into the final minute in Chestnut Hill about 3 weeks ago. This isn't your father's Boston College team. This is a good team. They beat us about a month ago in Chestnut Hill. And did so holding us to 53 points in that game. And so, yeah, don't overlook this. This isn't, you know, beating up on a weak Boston College team. This is a Boston College team with 7 wins in the ACC.
Unfortunately, only about 18 people in Boston really care about it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But a lot of people here, and this is the 10th win for this Virginia team, on a night when Syracuse got blown out, lost to Louisville. And so Syracuse stuck on 7 wins in the ACC. Now, as we're talking right now, we understand that Duke trails NC State big at the half, and it might be in second half action already at this stage. NC State also has 7 wins in the ACC, so they may keep pace with Virginia, but if that ends up being the case, then Virginia gains a game on Duke. Duke came into the night as the ACC leader, but a loss tonight for Duke would knock them back to 12-3. And would make Virginia obviously has a couple games to go before next Saturday night's game.
Yeah, the two teams we're looking up at, or 3 if you count Florida State, we still play them.
Well, we're finished with Florida State, but we have Louisville, and they're both
playing here.
Playing here. So, hey, all of a sudden, this Virginia team is 10-5 in the ACC. and scored 78 points in the game. This is odd. This is what it felt like last year, Scott. And this is the first time it really felt like that.
Well, and here's what is amazing, is that if the light switch indeed did turn on tonight, we were 9-5 without the light switch.
Oh my God, that 9-5. Doesn't it feel so different?
Again, a testament to the coaching staff.
Yeah.
If the light switch did turn on after this performance tonight, offensive performance, to think that we had somehow got to 9-5 without being able to shoot barely 35% on average from the floor. This team starts, we don't have to shoot 57%.
No, we don't have to go 10 or 17 every time from three either, but if you can, you see, now it's consistent. Walter Tensai was 4 of 8 again, as we mentioned earlier, from three. Huff was 3 of 5. You had Seven making a couple. If you've got to respect those guys, you don't have to make all the shots, but if you have to respect it, what that does then is open up the middle for Huff, for Diakite, for Clark, actually, and for Key, to drive those spaces, those gaps in between. And so even if they're not making the shots, you have to respect that they can make the shots, and that opens things up. And then, of course, when they're making shots, it's even better.
Let's talk a little bit about what we observe up here. And we've got great sight lines. What we talked about that we thought was missing, and that was some of the passing that we saw last year due to familiarity with Kyle Guy and Ty Jerome. The passes would often just go to vacated spots, and the player would end up
catching
with
the ball.
The ball.
Yeah, because those guys have played together for 3 years. Yeah,
we haven't seen that much until the last couple of games, and tonight it was on full display. And for people that watched the game, may have videoed or DVR'd it or whatever you do nowadays. Watch that and watch some of the passes that went to spot.
It's called a skip pass. You know, for those watch. I agree with Scott. Go back and watch the replays. That skip pass when one guard is running off of a screen. And he throws the ball out ahead of the guard on the other side of the floor, on the other side of the three-point line. And, you're throwing to a spot, the guy goes and catches it.
The guy needs to be there.
And it spaces the floor when that's done, and either the guy's open for a shot or defenders are crashing down to catch up, and it opens up the gap in the middle. But, those passes that we've seen since Malcolm and Joe, way back in the day.
They weren't here earlier in the season.
No, they weren't here. They weren't here for Notre Dame last week.
Right.
But yes, now
I saw some of it in the Carolina game.
Saw some of it in the Carolina.
Lot tonight.
Now you look back. How big? I mean, so you can't overstate it, I guess, and it's already happened. Again. How big was that 3-pointer from Walter Tensai with 8/10 of a second to go in Chapel Hill? That shot goes in, and this team tonight played with a confidence it has not played with. This team has not played with it all this year. They played tonight like a confident team.
Like they were supposed to win.
Yeah.
This was the first game that when they took the four, I felt comfortable that they felt comfortable knowing they should win this game.
The last 2 years, obviously, was a record of 66-6 and a national championship, 2 number one seeds, ACC championships, everything else. We got used to that. And then this year, we had not had it. We didn't have any of the familiar offense, didn't have any of that feel. Tonight they play with a swagger. And this is the first, I wouldn't have even used that word about this team this year. I didn't think I was going to use that word about this team at all this year. They played with swagger tonight. They played the same swagger that Kyle and Ty and DeAndre did the last couple of years.
And we waited for it. But I kind of feel bad as a media, as a fan, to kind of feel like, why was I expecting that to happen early in the season? I mean,
it doesn't just happen,
right? It doesn't just happen. And this was a complete, the chemistry on this team is, I know they have Momani back, TA back, Huff back, Clark back, but they're playing with a totally different lineup of players that are expected to come out here and produce.
Even those guys are playing different roles. Momani scored 7 points a game last year. Kihei was the back, he was the third guard, fourth guard. First off the bench.
Jay Huff was getting 10 or 12 minutes.
And I think he had 18 total in the NCAA tournament.
He played 28 minutes tonight.
Thomas Walter Tensai was in JUCO ball last year. Francisco Cafaro was a redshirt. Cody Statman was playing garbage time.
Cody was out there with Kersey.
Yeah.
Casper.
And Marcel was in high school. So even the guys who were back are asked to do different things, and then the new guys are asked to do everything. They've got to learn the mover blocker, got to learn the pack line. And yes, we as Virginia fans, and so Scott, you're speaking for the whole Virginia fan base. All the people out there who've been the naysayers and negative, Tony didn't recruit well. I'm looking down at a seat where it's empty right now, but a dumbass reporter who's been writing about the recruiting hole, and I'm pointing down to where the Daily Progress kid sits, talking about a recruiting hole that Tony should have been able to account for. Right there is what happens when you are patient and you develop. And so, all that nonsense aside, I don't care. You know, kid can say what he wants to me about that. He was wrong when he said it. I called him out when he said it, and I'm calling him out again now.
Well, if we had a recruiting hole, then today, the 19th of February, we're 75% through the ACC schedule, and this team today, I'm going to go out on a little bit of a limb and say this team today, especially with the score I'm looking at right now, Duke, NC State, this team today is as good as any team in the ACC.
And I don't need a damn kid from JMU telling me that it's not. So there you go.
We have a recruiting hole.
So send your cards and letters to Chris Graham and I'll burn them if you have a problem.
There's no recruiting hole.
You have to play. This system is not easy to play in. So there you go. There's my passionate defense of UVA basketball, and you suck it if you don't want it.
And I will be the first to say that I had some doubt earlier in the year. I had some doubt up until the Carolina game. But when you see this in person, you see the confidence, the crispness of the passing, you realize that it's a system.
And what have I been saying all year long?
It is a system.
I've been repeating that Anthony Gill interview I did 6 years ago now for 2 months. About how it's hard to learn how to play this system, but at some point the bell goes off. And for him that year, I've only said this story about a million times this year, it was around February 10th. You know what's today? February 17th, 18th?
19th.
Okay, here we go. I've been telling you this for two freaking months. Anyway, okay. And on that note,
if it's a recruiting hole, it's a pretty shallow hole. They dug themselves out of it.
There's a recruiting hole in some newspapers. Need to hire better people.
Yeah.
I need to recruit better. Anyway, on that note, again, send your cards and letters to Chris Graham, and I'll tell you what you can do with them if you have a problem with that. We'll sign off because I got a lot of fun stuff to write tonight, and Scott does too. So thank you for joining us here on the podcast. And I say podcast, also Facebook Live. I do make this into a podcast as well for those who didn't get to join in right away. Signing off, Chris Graham for Scott German, and everyone have a great night.